This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. In 1938, Jewish Czech composer Hans Krása began writing an opera for a government competition, but due to political upheaval in Europe, the competition never happened, but the work Brundavar was completed that year. The first performance wasn't until 1942, and by that time, Krása had already been transported to the Theresienstadt concentration camp. By July of the following year, nearly all of the children of the original chorus had been transported to the camp as well. The arts-based school in Winston-Salem takes on Krása's remarkable opera based on a simple Czech folktale with two performances on November 20th at 6 o'clock and 7:30 in Hanesbrands Theater. Artistic director Mary Siebert and student actors Bella Hart Peck and Ellie Simpson Burdett join me to talk about the performance. Bella, you're 12, and you've been involved in this stuff for a long time. 5 years old is when you started at arts?
Yeah,
Then arts-based elementary, now arts-based school. How's your connection with the arts changed over those years?
I've learned a lot about stage presence and a lot about, like, acting and stuff.
Tell me something good about stage presence.
When I was little, it was just about being able to say my lines without stammering. And now, it's about really being able to be my character.
Mm-hmm. Being your character, though, it seems like that's the big challenge for all actors, getting outside of yourself. How do you even begin to do that? What are some steps along the way to get a person in that direction?
Well, what I do is I think of the backstory about my character, and it kind of helps me figure out what they would be acting right now.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, your character in this production is a boy.
Yes.
And first off, any apprehension going into this about being a boy in a play? You're not a boy. You're a girl, a young lady. What's it like as a girl? Was there any apprehension? Like, oh, I've got to play a boy. How am I going to do that? That sort of thing.
Well, I've always been a tomboy. Like, I've never been like one of those like really girly girl kind of people, and I have five brothers, and so it kind of helps with the whole trying to be a boy thing.
Five brothers, that'll give you some perspective. Okay. Yeah, I gotcha. You've been involved in Winston-Salem Youth Chorus, great group, performed in musicals, Glee Club, in Carmen, in opera. What sorts of things do these varied experiences give you?
I actually got into Carmen, like Ellie and I got into Carmen by the youth chorus.
Aha, okay.
And it kind of gives you a perspective of like what I want to like really study on being. Like, do I want to be on stage? Do I want to be in opera? Do I want to be in movies? Like stuff like that.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you leaning anywhere, any particular direction?
I'm leaning towards Broadway.
Why not? Go for it.
Yeah. I really like the immediate response of the audience.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you been to Broadway?
No.
Well, you will one day. Ellie Simpson Burdett is here. Ellie, welcome back. Hey, you're also really active in a whole variety of arts. How's the difference singing and acting versus playing the bass, playing that big old bass? In terms of anything, how's it different?
Well, for example, like the bass, if you don't want to play it anymore, you can just put it down. But like with singing, you'd have that instrument with you for your whole life. And so it's good to learn how to do it well.
Yeah, that is something that singers are often referring to, and just trying to get people to empathize with the gravity of them. And it's you. You have good days and bad days depending on how you're feeling inside.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and then you're transitioning not only from singing to instrumental work and acting, but also within the realm of music, you transition from classical music and second bass in the Winston-Salem Youth Philharmonic. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Into Dan River Girl work and playing bluegrass and country and all kinds of variety of styles. So what changes in how you play the bass, shifting from one style to the next?
In Scottish music, I usually play with my bow. It's just kind of the style.
Hmm. Do you use a French bow or German bow?
I use a French bow.
Uh-huh.
And in like bluegrass, it's mostly all plucking or pizzicato.
Yeah. How's your callus going? Oh, not so good today. She's got a Band-Aid on her finger. Do you have a favorite tune from Brundabar?
What do you think, Ellie?
I like Shake Up Your Energy.
That one's really fun to sing because it's really like jumpy.
Ah, jumpy. Can we have a little taste?
Sure.
How about just a little? You guys are professionals.
Shake up your energy, fight against gravity. You might be mad at me, that's how it has to be. Sorry, my dear. I'm gonna aggravate until you elevate. Time to participate, though it's unfortunate morning is here.
I don't know.
You guys are good. That's awesome.
Next
well done. I love it.
Brenda Barr is a Czech folktale in which the evil organ grinder, Brenda Barr, denies two little children the opportunity to make music in the town square so they can make money to save their mother, who's sick, buy milk. And so the children team up with three animals who overhear their plight, and the animals organize all the kids in the town to come and sing to earn money. And with all those voices together, they're loud enough that they can overwhelm the sound of the organ grinder. And so they make enough money, chase the organ grinder away, and everybody's okay. Mom is saved.
All right. This is pretty heavy stuff, Mary. What are you hoping the students come away with from this experience?
Well, one thing I like about it is that the story itself can be sung for young children who don't need to learn about the Holocaust yet. For us, the challenge is we're required to teach the Holocaust at seventh grade, and it's nobody wants to do it. We don't want to admit man's inhumanity to man, to children. But I think that this is a beautiful window through which the children can view it, thinking in terms of how it impacted children. And I hope that they come away with a powerful sense of the injustice of it all, and also that we can honor in memory the children who performed this at Terezin.
We've got nothing, not a cent, and poor mommy's sick in bed.
I think the main thing that makes arts-based unique as far as the arts integration goes, if you listen to the kids talk about how their day is structured, it sounds pretty traditional. They do switch classes and focus on math and then language arts and then science. But all the teachers at every grade level work together with all the arts specialists at that grade level and plan so that they're reinforcing one another's goals and sharing vocabulary.
In this case, does the music then help reinforce a retention of a period in history? How does the history then inform the performance? I mean, this is kind of a cold, calculated way of breaking it down, but I've always been kind of curious about that balance. In this case, and what have you seen in terms of how one informs the other for the long haul? Like, they're going to leave here and then years down the road, what sort of feedback have you gotten along those lines?
Well, a couple of things. I think the thing that we do best is a combination of self-confidence, individuality, self-expression. There's a lot of value placed on that in our school, and of problem solving, of creative problem solving. So innovation develops out of your ability to be creative. And so many of the projects that our students do require them to come up with their own answers. And that's what the arts do. With a larger scale project like we're working on with Brenda Barr, and Brenda Barr is unique because we don't do, as a general rule, pieces that were composed by somebody else. We put our pieces together, our large scale integrated pieces. Brenda Barr, though, is a piece that we honor as it was composed. And what I think it will give the kids that will be long lasting is an intimacy with children who survived or did not survive the Holocaust because they're playing the roles those children played. They're singing the same notes. And they will be learning about some of those individual children through memoirs. And so if you give a kid a couple of chapters in a history book to read about the Holocaust and they have to memorize facts and answer the questions, it's 18% of those, it said, 18% of the children who learn that way succeed, function at an A level. But if you give them something that requires them to empathetically step into that time period, and the arts require that of them, then they're going to connect with it in a much richer way. And they'll also be attracted to certain aspects of the story that they might not otherwise have investigated. And I think they'll come out of it with a much richer knowledge as a result, not to mention what they gain by doing really quality music and all the research that shows that that helps them develop their brains, the neurological pathways that help them with language arts, and also the mathematical connections that you gain when you do music.
Well, I'm finding out with regard to this project and Brundabar, first off, just historically, was not aware of concentration camps set up within what is now the Czech Republic, and was not familiar with Hans Krause's music. Who was Hans Krause, and tell me about this music.
Well, I can't tell you a lot about Hans Krause other than he did some smaller works that still survive. His influence was clearly inclusive of Gershwin. You can hear a little American influence, but also you definitely hear German influence. Kurt Weill, for example, in this particular score.
Okay.
And he created this particular opera for a competition. And obviously thought very carefully through orchestration so that when a child's voice is singing, because it was composed for children to sing, when a child's voice is singing, the orchestration becomes very light. And then in between, when there's action, we get the whole 12-piece band. Mm. So he tries not to cover up the voices and create some balance. It's an elegantly composed piece. I don't know whether it would still be done as often as it is had it not been for its historical significance.
Yeah, because unfortunately the competition aspect of it fell apart. Mm-hmm. A little thing came along called World War II.
Mm-hmm.
From there, the application of the work, completely unique. I mean,
yeah. So one of his colleagues, the librettist, happened to have been in London, I think, at the time that Krause was captured and just didn't return to Europe and escaped. But Krause was Jewish, and he was brought to Terezin, also known as Theresienstadt. And a colleague smuggled in the score to Brundabar into the camp. And as it turns out, the Nazis decided they had a lot of arts-focused people in that camp, and they decided to encourage the arts in that particular concentration camp so they could use the camp as a showpiece. It became propaganda. And so they would invite people to come and see what children were painting and singing and performing. There were musicians playing, small orchestras forming. And so the Nazis decided to allow Brundabar to be performed in the camp. And it was subsequently performed at least 55 times.
And not just for anyone. The International Red Cross viewed it.
Yeah, I think it was 1944, that the Red Cross came through and the Nazis were showing them how humane these camps were. And they said, nobody from these camps is executed. But the morning that the Red Cross arrived, a train full of people left Terezin to go to Auschwitz so those people could be executed. The camp was cleaned up and brightened up, and the ladies were wearing stockings and carrying handbags, and they were all coached on how to behave so that the Red Cross would think that it was like a happy little city. And the kids did a performance of Brundabar, and the Red Cross reported that it was a nice place, that everybody was being well taken care of. And as soon as they left, the whole cast from Brundabar was sent to Auschwitz. And there were many more casts after that.
arts-based school, artistic director Mary Siebert, and student actors Bella Hart Peck and Ellie Simpson Burdett. They'll be teaming up for two performances of Hans Krass's Brundabar on November 20th at 6 o'clock and 7:30 in Haynes Brands Theater. Admission is free, but seating is limited, and you'll need to make reservations by calling the school office. You'll find links at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take another short break now. When we get back, it's time for an up-close and personal conversation with one of today's leading pianists, Mr. Joel Fan. He's coming to the Music Academy of North Carolina in Greensboro, and he joins me next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.